Hafaday, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
God used sufferings and persecutions for God's ultimate goal and purpose in the past.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Well, it was the mid-60s that I found myself as a young boy facing a real dilemma, because I had been praying that God would answer a prayer that we had had in a little red prayer book at the Herron family's house in Los Angeles, California. And for years and years and years, we had prayed that God would answer this particular prayer. See, I had seen God answer prayer in a number of ways. I prayed for a stingray bike, banana handlebars and banana seat, and that could be so cool and clip my little baseball card on there and sound like an engine driving down the paved road. And I'd seen God answer prayer. I prayed for that specifically, and God just brought that along one Christmas. But there was one particular prayer that God just seemed to never answer. And I'd come to the conclusion in a young mind that God must either doesn't care, or he just is saying no to this. And I just couldn't figure out why he was saying no to this. We prayed for years and years that my dad would regain his hearing. My father, when he was a late teenager, he had a disease in the inner ear, and he had a surgery to replace one of the three bones in the middle ear, and in surgery it went wrong, and the doctor had dropped one of the prosthesis bones into his middle ear, and so he couldn't regain his hearing. And so we believed God was going to give my dad his hearing back. He had limited hearing in this ear and eventually no hearing in this other ear, and he had to wear a hearing aid. And how embarrassing is it to wear a hearing aid? And so I pray, God, you got to give this hearing. I believe God could answer this prayer. But he never answered that prayer. At all kinds of X's through all these prayer requests, this little red notebook, but that one was never answered. And I then come to conclusion, up through my teen years then, you know, some prayers that God's just not going to answer. He's going to say no because he doesn't care, or for whatever reason. And over the years as well, we had seen times where we had prayed, God, why don't you, or would you please, would you seem fit to? And it seemed like God won't answer prayer. Have you ever gotten the place at times where it seems that God just doesn't care? It seems it's not working. And to make matters worse, we many times see others that seemingly get all their prayers answered. You hear people, yeah, you know, God just answered this prayer. He gave me $1 million. Amen. God bless you, brother. And thinking, oh, really? And so you compound all this and you get to a place of thinking it must be that God, you are hearing, but maybe you're not hearing. And we've missed the Bible truth that faith is not so much accepting what God gives, but what accepting what he withholds. And I want you to hang on to that statement, because when you read Hebrews 11 in a much more painful and graphic way, in two English sentences, you find the rest of the story about those that are living by faith. And they prayed, and it seemingly God didn't answer their prayer. Why is it that God let some Christians go through painful, difficult circumstances, and yet they're Christians? And this last week, we started with the theme of national heroics and spiritual heroes, and I want to address your attention to that today and encourage you to jot down a few thoughts, because I think it'll be helpful to you and I today to realize that God does desire to help us. How do I get through tough times? How do I look at life's injustices? How do I look at life when life's just not fair? How could it be that, God, you would allow people to go through painful, difficult parts of their life and come to the conclusion, I guess, that God really doesn't care? Or if he cared, he certainly wouldn't let these kind of things go on. Because when you read Hebrews 11, and we have gone through much of this, Hebrews 11 is the expression or examples of the exhortation, Hebrews 10, that the just will live by faith. And if the just are going to live by faith, then he begins laying out these many, many different examples we've been preaching over the last few months. And we looked at those individuals that by faith were triumphant victors. These were people that had had conquest over their struggles. They escaped. And I mentioned to you these three simple truisms. That number one, that faith, by faith, they cheerfully and confidently accepted God-given tasks against all human odds. We mentioned these people that were victors, that by faith, they courageously, they stood alone to face immense odds for Christ's sake. And I also mentioned to you that by faith, they chose obedience with God's minority rather than earth's majority. And you read through these great victors and come to the conclusion, wow, man, God's on the throne. He's answering prayer. He's doing great things. But it's very easy when you get to the place of Hebrews 11, verse 35, after women at receiving their dead raised to life again, all of those, do you not think that they were praying, God, please raise my little one so that I can have life again? Have you ever prayed for something and it just didn't happen? Did God not answer? Did God not care? And somewhere in your Christian life, my friend, you will get to the point that unless you base your life by faith, not feelings, not fears, not comparison to other people, by faith, you will come to the point of seeing people just like the ones we're going to look at today and others in verse 35, it says. And in verse 36, beginning of it, and others. And a whole litany, a whole list of people going through great difficulties. And when I read that, I realize that by faith, some were tragic victims. And they continued in suffering. They didn't escape. They endured. So when you end up reading Hebrews 11, look at your Bibles, when it sums that list up, we're going to look at, when he says in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. And in verse 39, and these all, including the victors and including the victims, including those that escaped and those that endured, all of these, by man's reasoning, this first group in verse 33 and 34 and verse 32, that by reasoning, that first group, they were winners. And this next group that we're looking at today, they're losers. But you see, in Christ's mind, and as he looked at it, they didn't all necessarily get their prayers answered. But ultimately, according to God, they all had a good report. Someone wisely said, in the drama of redemption, God has included triumphs as well as tragedies. There are those who stand center stage, bathed in the limelight, and who thrill us with their heroic deeds and satisfy us with their lives lived happily ever after. And then there are those whose lives are plotted with pain on a downwardly sloped storyline to tragedy. Even as in recent history, you pick up stories of Richard Wurmbrand and Corrie Ten Boom and Jim Elliot, and pick up Fox's Book of Martyrs, and on you go. And you think, God, how does this work? I mean, obviously, God, you must not be a God of love, or you wouldn't let this happen. I just got the immediate story of John Leonard, who was serving with Baptist Mid-Missions, and got a note from the headquarters there in the States that on Sunday evening, July 3rd, missionary John Leonard was the victim of an attempted murder and was critically wounded in the assault. Three men were waiting outside the church, and when the evening service ended, Two of them entered the crowd of those in the congregation, asked for Pastor John. When John identified himself, one of the men shot him 3 times. John was wounded in the face, the jaw, the arm, and most seriously in the 4th vertebrae of his spine. At this time, he's paralyzed. They have no idea why or what. Why ask for the pastor? Man, God must not love him. That must be the case, obviously. Or he doesn't know what's going on. How can he let this go on? And I would suggest to you and I today, I want to reinforce this whole thing, my friend, that you cannot end up looking at your Christian life or others' Christian life based on circumstances. Warren Wiersbe is the one that accurately stated, if you base your faith on circumstances, you will become woefully discouraged with your Christian life. And so how do I end up looking at difficulties like we're going to look at today? And the reason why God put all these into the Bible is to help you and I today to realize that these are events that go on and have gone on through the history of God, in which God was working the lives of people. You can look way back through the Old Testament and see how God used sufferings and persecutions for God's ultimate goal and purpose in the past. It didn't just start with the New Testament, with believers, as they have recorded here. It wasn't just that Pilate himself with Christ, or Nero with the early church, or Titus in 70 AD that came into Jerusalem and wreaked havoc on that city and took thousands and thousands of Jews and carted them off to the known ancient world at that time. It wasn't just that Titus's own father, Vespasian, who tortured and killed multiples of people, or the Roman emperors that put to death so many people, including Ignatius and Polycarp and others. Even to this day in our present world, they say in some documentation, Voice of the Martyrs and others, that there are more Christians being killed today than any other time in history. And it will continue on into what we will know as the future, as the Bible records. So how do I end up looking at this and thinking, God, you must not know what's going on? And by the way, there are people that are so drawn to Christ that have an aversion when they see things like this because they can't put it together. And they think, by logic, this is not right. You got winners and you got losers. Man, Christians keep being losers. I have no interest in that. And notice what he says here, because this is the first of 3 statements that I want to expand on, when he says, first of all, and notice they were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. A simple paraphrase, that is, they refused to accept their freedom so they could be raised from death to a better life. They were in the place, in other words, number one of 3 statements I want to make you today. What I think this passage is saying is, number one, that these individuals realized they didn't sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. It was a faith mindset that expressed itself, that they didn't sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate.
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.